Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. Let's get straight to the docket today. First, the first day of the Derek Chauvin jury trial. It has started. Second, Mark Means follows Crime Talk. See what he has to say to Crime Talk. Third, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. For those of you who do not know me, I am a practicing criminal defense attorney, and we've been discussing cases of interest for the last 2.5 years on our channel. And if you like what you see, please hit the subscribe button. Make sure you hit that bell so that you receive notifications when we go live or put up new content. For tomorrow, for example, we go live at 6 p.m. Mountain Time, like we do every Tuesday night. All right, let's get straight to the docket. The big news today, Derek Chauvin's trial has started. All right, what did the judge do first thing today? He dismissed that 15th juror. That was, remember, they had three alternates, but we got rid of one just in case we lost somebody over the long week. So our 20-year-old white male has been removed from the alternate list, so to speak. We have 12 jurors plus two alternates, and it started. The prosecutor in this case, I thought, did a very good job with his opening statement. Basically, everything you thought you were going to see. The prosecutor got up and stated that Derek Chauvin basically spit on the badge, to use his words, betrayed the badge and the principles that he was supposed to follow, which was to protect with courage, to serve with compassion. And that compassion included sanctity of life, and he basically fell short of that. The prosecutor basically played the 9-minute and 29-second video showing Derek Chauvin applying pressure to George Floyd. I'm not sure I would have done that in opening statement. I know that they're going to get to see it, they being the jurors, if they haven't seen it already. But if you play it too much, and just about every video witness that has come up has been that video, you can desensitize the jury to seeing something and being shocked by it. If you only play it once, oh my gosh, oh my goodness. But they're going to look at it so many times, after a while, it's like, okay. But that's their call. Now, the defense got up and said exactly what they were going to say, which was a little contrary to the prosecutor, right? The prosecutor also said that this was about Derek Chauvin strangling, being responsible, primarily responsible for the death of George Floyd. The defense got up and said, hey, you've got to look at more than 9 minutes and 29 seconds of video. You have to look at the totality of the circumstances. He went on to say that there's been hundreds of witnesses, thousands of pages of discovery turned over, and it's all relevant. And you have to look at it, and you just can't look at just the 9.5 minutes of video. The defense also highlighted the fact that Derek Chauvin was not responsible for George Floyd's death. Everybody acknowledged it. Even the prosecutor acknowledged it in opening statement. They acknowledged that George Floyd had an opioid addiction. They had to. They had to say, hey, the reasons why those fentanyl levels were so high is because he's had an opioid addiction for years. So don't be alarmed in any way. Yeah, sure, that's enough to kill somebody. But once you start getting addicted, you develop a tolerance for that. You also heard the defense say, hey, Chauvin has been doing what he was trained to do. And for everyone to sit back and play armchair quarterback is really not necessary. The defense also said that there's no evidence that Mr. Floyd's airflow was restricted, and you can bet your bottom dollar that they expect to have a witness, an expert witness, testify to that. Now, we only got through a couple of witnesses today before they basically had to cancel it. The judge said they had a major problem with the audio going out on YouTube today, and so they had to stop. Well, what's the big deal in that, Scott? Why do they have to stop? Since they're limiting the access into the courtroom, they have to be able to put it out to the public so that it is a public trial. So if it's not going out on live stream, they got to stop the whole show, so to speak. All right. We heard from the 911 dispatcher who basically received the call, was also able to look at the video and became quite concerned because she thought that the screen that she was watching had become frozen because nothing had moved. She contacted a supervisor at one point and even referred to herself as kind of a snitch, so to speak, but she thought that something was not correct. Then they also called a 23-year-old woman who was, next the police called a 23-year-old woman by the name of Alicia Oler, O-Y-L-E-R. She worked at the Speedway convenience store across the street when the police were called on May 25th. She was the one that took the 7 video clips of police taking Floyd into custody. And the reason why she stated she did it is because she always sees the police messing with people and it's wrong and it's not okay, the 23-year-old told the jury. The next witness, right before we got cut off, was a gentleman by the name of Donald Williams. He's 33 years old. He was on his way to Cup Foods on May 25th, and he heard George Floyd basically screaming or gasping for air. He also is a wrestling coach and had done some UFC-type fighting. And he's kind of a qualified expert here. I got to go back and watch his entire testimony, but he was allowed to basically give his experience in wrestling, what he referred to as a shimmy maneuver. And that shimmy maneuver was designed to cut off the airflow, as he described what former Officer Chauvin was doing to George Floyd on May 25th when Floyd was moaning in agony, according to the witness. And that was when the feed went down and everything ended. So far, nobody's hit any big out of the park hits, so to speak. Everything that we expected from the prosecutor, Derek Chauvin, bad, killed George Floyd. Defense, George Floyd, bad, Derek Chauvin didn't kill George Floyd. The jury is going to have to be the one to decide what took place here. And did George Floyd die of asphyxiation at the hands of the officers, or did he die from ingesting fentanyl into his system when he realized that he was going to become arrested? It's going to be interesting. Those juries are going to have a tough job. But as the defense stated in their opening statements, there is no political or social cause in this courtroom. This is about the facts and the law. No political or social cause. That's what a courtroom is supposed to do. I saw a lot of comments going through saying, this is the greatest civil rights case in America. No, it's not. It's a criminal case. Civil rights cases are going to take place in a civil courtroom. This is a criminal case. And I think we all need to remind ourselves, it's can the prosecution prove the case beyond a reasonable doubt? No political or social cause in a courtroom. Bottom line. All right, next on the docket, Mark Means. You know, remember that guy? He's the defense attorney for Lori Vallow. Has made some very different statements. Well, guess what? Turns out he's a follower of Crime Talk. We put a tweet up the other day basically saying, wow, it's kind of unusual that the special prosecutor coming in has to come in because are there no other qualified prosecutors in the state of Idaho? Mark Means chimed in. Take a look at this little snippet here. Basically, wouldn't you like to know what the special prosecutor's getting paid on an hourly basis? And he was also quite interested in pointing out that it is the people of Madison County that are paying her fee. That's right. That's what the taxpayers do. They pay for their criminal justice system. I too would like to know what the special prosecutor is being paid. My guess is it's a flat fee. I don't think she's going to get an hourly fee on something like this because she could literally bill from the time that she wakes up till the time that she goes to bed at night. We'll see. But hey, Mark, we appreciate you watching. We appreciate your comments. If you'd like to come on the show, feel free. We'll give you a fair shake. And please come tell us where we were wrong, if at all, on any of our critique of you. All right. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant winner from last week. Do you remember James Tanner? That's right, the guy who broke into a residence with a credit card, burglarized the residence, then left. Of course, he left his credit card behind. That's right, James Tanner, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the week, which means you're gonna get some cool Crime Talk gear sent to you. Now, today's dumb criminal, you just can't make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen, I swear to God. Our dumb criminal contestant of the day is a nice 31-year-old lady from Queens, New York. Her name is Shakira Small, and she was a United States Postal Service carrier. Well, she has been accused of stealing credit cards from mail that she was supposed to deliver on her route. And what did she use those credit cards for? That's right, plastic surgery. She used the cards to put down deposits and ultimately pay for her surgery. The operation included a breast lift procedure. If convicted of all of the charges, which include identity theft and grand larceny, she could face up to 7 years in prison. Now, I understand that Ms. Small used a different identity at the doctor's office. However, you're gonna have to come back for follow-up appointments. You're gonna have to come back and see the doc. Do you think they couldn't have figured that out? Yeah, quite easily, particularly in this case, when the person who had the credit card got the $8,000 bill. So Ms. Small, you are Monday's dumb criminal contestant of the day. All right, I know that was fast and furious. It's been a very busy day. Thanks for watching. We'll see you tomorrow. Don't forget to tune in. They're starting at 8:30 Mountain Time for day two of the Derek Chauvin trial. And we will talk about it, I'm sure, when we go live tomorrow at 6 p.m. Mountain Time. And immediately following that, we have our Patreon. So if you haven't done so, please become a Patreon. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow on Crime Talk.